So today we have the last in our series on heaven, hell, and the end of time. And a message today is called Christ Coming Again. Sometimes we wonder what the Bible says about Christ coming again, coming as he did long ago. We discover something looking at the Bible. It doesn't tell us things like when or how Jesus will come again. But it does tell us what God's vision is for our world and how we are to live as Jesus' followers. So the first scripture reading today is a typical common one for the Sunday of joy. Often it's read on the third Sunday of Advent, but we pushed it out 1 week. So you get to hear the words of Jesus' mother Mary, who lays out in her song what God's vision is for the world. And then in the second scripture, we're going to hear words of Jesus. When he is asked about the end of time and the coming of his kingdom, he talks about how his followers are to bring him to others. How they're to bring him to others in this life and every day. And then in the message, I'm going to share a little bit of a reflection from this book about the story of the other wise man by Henry Van Dyke. I imagine some of you are familiar with this, but not all. So you can look forward to this in a few minutes as part of the message. We're going to begin with Mary's song.
The first reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. It's found in the New Testament Bible at page 57. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his posterity forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now these words from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at the 31st verse. "When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. We breathe, O God, and give you thanks for life and breath. We know that you have given us everything, including the gift of Jesus, coming once again into our hearts and lives. Amen. So I'd like to welcome our congregation at Dove Mountain. We're so glad that you are worshiping with us today. So take a moment and picture the waiting of early Christians in those years after Jesus. Jesus had been born, although the way we celebrate today was not celebrated early on. That's a later thing that happens. Jesus had been born, he lived, he died, he rose, and then he left them. And they were waiting. As they gathered in those days after Jesus left, they expected Jesus to come back soon and bring about the kingdom of God. Now, when they thought about the kingdom of God, what do you suppose they pictured it to be like? I think they pictured it to be free from Roman rule or any other kind of oppression. They pictured the kingdom of God to be a peaceful place where everyone had enough to eat and a place to live, where they had the freedom to worship as they wanted to, where they had freedom. You see, this hope is reflected in Mary's song. Even before Jesus' birth, this longing, this waiting was reflected in her song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, according to the promise he made to our ancestors. You see, in the kingdom of God, all would be free to follow Jesus, to be free from suffering, and to serve him in the world. What's this like? We can have a picture of that nowadays, of a perfect place, a free place where everyone has enough. The hope for the return of Jesus in order to bring about the kingdom of God only intensified after Jesus left them. But Jesus' coming to bring the kingdom didn't happen quickly, like the way that they had envisioned. We know what that's like to have a hope or a dream that doesn't quite come to fruition, at least not in the time frame we anticipate. So time passes, and Jesus didn't return in the way they expected. So the dream and the expectation of Jesus' early followers began to shift from Jesus coming again right then to bring about the kingdom of God to a time when Jesus would come again and claim the world. Well, I hope for a time when Jesus will come and claim the whole world and all will be made new. I was taught about this when I was a child growing up in Lutheran school, that someday Jesus would come and claim the world. But it was a sort of a fear-bringing thing, like you needed to behave a certain way and believe a certain way so that when Jesus came. I imagine some of you heard that too. Well, I hope for this time when Jesus will come, claim the whole world, it will all be made new. But if we look at Jesus' actual words, he tells us that no one knows when that return will come and when God's kingdom will come. But Jesus does tell his followers how to live, to help bring about his kingdom. You see, Jesus' closest followers, his disciples, have asked him when the age will end and when he will come again and how they'll know when it's coming. And he tells them, among other things, what Pastor Stewart just read in Matthew chapter 25. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, because I was a stranger and you took me in. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing." And they say, "When did we do this?" And Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." You see, what he's really telling them is that every time they do those things, For those who are the least, they are doing it for him. And in fact, they then are Christ coming again, and he is there in them and in those they help. And that reminds me of the Henry Van Dyke story of the other wise man. Now, you know the story of the three wise men and how they traveled from far away to give their gifts to the manger, to the child in the manger at Bethlehem. But have you ever heard the story of the other wise men who also saw the star at its rising and set out to follow it? Yet he didn't arrive with the other wise men, with the other magi, in order to give his presents to the child Jesus. The man's name is Artaban. He lived in the mountains of Persia, and he was a magi, a studier of the stars. So Artaban and three of his friends had made a study of the ancient writings, and they had noticed that there would come a star out of Jacob and a scepter that would rise out of Israel. And he and his friends felt that the time had come when this would happen. And so they looked for a sign of this. And they agreed that when that sign came, they would make haste and they would meet up. The other friends didn't live where Artaban lived. They would make haste and they would meet up at a temple outside Babylon. Well, late that night, Artaban is watching the sky and he sees something unusual and he realizes that the time had come for him to head out to meet his friends and go and worship this king who they believed would be in Jerusalem. He sold his possessions and he bought three jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl to carry them as tribute to the king. So Artaban set out and he got all the way on his swift horse to Babylon. And the horse was very tired, but he knew he needed to keep going 3 hours more in order to meet up with his friends. But the horse wouldn't go. There was something going on there in Babylon, something wrong. And Artaban looked and he saw a man lying by the road. It was a poor Hebrew man, almost dead, gripped by a deadly fever. Should he keep going and meet up with his friends, or should he stop to help the man? And he couldn't help himself but stop to help the man. And so he brought the man water. He tended to him as magi do. Time passed, and the man began to get better. And he was talking to the man, and he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem because I'm going to look for a king of the Jews." And the man, who was a Hebrew man, said, "Well, you know, really, our writings say that you need to go to Bethlehem, not to Jerusalem. May the Lord guide you safely to that place." After the man was well enough, Artaban set out to meet his friends at the temple. But when he got there, his friends had already left. And he realized that he would have to go back to Babylon and get camels and a fleet to carry him all the way to Bethlehem. And so he went back to Babylon and he sold his sapphire in order to get what he needed for the journey. He said, "I may not overtake my friends." So he used the sapphire in order to have what he needed to get to Bethlehem. And finally he got there. He got to Bethlehem and he was looking for the Christ child in order that he might worship him and give him his remaining two gifts. Finally, the streets seemed deserted, and finally he came to a house, the open door of a cottage, and he heard a woman's voice singing softly to her child. She was singing to this newborn baby, and as he went into her house, she told him that strangers had come 3 days before to worship the child Jesus. And Artaban realized that the other wise men had already been there to a cottage nearby this one. And the woman said, "You know, those people already left. Mary and Joseph and their baby, they already left for Egypt because they heard that there was danger." Suddenly there was a shout from the street. Soldiers were coming. And the woman clung closely to her baby, and Artaban stood in the door of the house where the woman was. There was a shout that said, "The soldiers, soldiers of Herod, they're killing our children." You remember the slaughter of the innocents? King Herod ordered the killing of the children, and here was this woman. Mary and Joseph and Jesus had already left, but here was this woman with her baby. She hid him in the folds of her coat, and Artaban went and stood in the door. And as the soldiers came passing by, he said to them, "I am all alone in this place, and I am willing to give this jewel to the captain who will leave me in peace." And he held out the ruby, glistening in the hollow of his hand. The captain was amazed and took it. And he said to his men, the captain said to his men, "March on. There is no child here. The house is empty." Artaban prayed, "Forgive my sin for lying about this, O God." But the voice of the woman, gently weeping for joy in the shadow behind him, said, "You have saved the life of my little one." Artaban traveled on to Egypt, hoping to find the Christ child, always seeking the Christ child. He traveled from place to place. He visited the oppressed and the afflicted in prisons. He crowded into the slave markets. He looked in the galley ships. He found none to worship, but he found many to help. He fed the hungry. He clothed the naked. He healed the sick. He comforted the captives. And the years passed so swiftly. 33 years of the life of Artaban passed away as he searched for the Christ child. He was still a pilgrim seeking after him. His hair had changed. His body had changed. He grew worn and weary. And all he had remaining was the pearl of great price. Now it seemed like he must make one more effort to find the Christ child. So he traveled back to Jerusalem. And he realized that it was the time of the Passover. And as he heard about things in the street, he realized that two famous robbers were about to be crucified along with the man called Jesus of Nazareth. The man who had done many wonderful works among the people. These words felt strangely familiar to Artaban. Words that had followed him over land and sea for all these years. And there he was in the streets of Jerusalem. Just then a troop of soldiers came dragging a young girl down the street. She was, she said, the daughter of a merchant of Parthia, but her father was dead and she was being sold as a slave to pay his debts. "Have pity on me and save me," she said to Artaban. Artaban trembled. This was the old conflict in his soul, which had come to him long ago. Two times he had given away the gifts that had been intended for the Christ child. Twice he had given them away. This was the third time. And he took the pearl of great price. And he handed it over to the girl. And he said, "This is your ransom, the last of my treasures, which I have kept for the king. Now go and buy your freedom." And just then there was an earthquake. And a tile fell from the building nearby and landed on Artaban. And he knew that he was about to die. And the young girl held him in her arms, very small. She was, and a voice came to Artaban through the twilight, very small and still, but the notes were clear. And the man said, "When did I see you hungry?" Artaban said, "When did I see you hungry or feed you?" The girl hadn't heard any voice, but Artaban heard a voice. And he said, "When did I see you and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did I see you sick or in prison? 33 years I have looked for you, but I have never seen your face nor ministered to you." As Artaban lay dying in the arms of the girl, he heard the voice of Jesus. The voice came again, faint and far away, and it said, "Truly I say to you, whenever you have done it to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you have done it for me." A long breath of relief exhaled from Artaban's lips. His journey was ended. His treasures were accepted. And he had found the King. In serving the King and giving his best, what was most precious to him, he had found the King, and Christ had come through him to others. Christ had come again. You see, the main question Jesus asks is, how have you been living while waiting for me? Because in fact, I have been coming again and again and again all around you, sometimes not the way you expected. You, my followers, are to be examples. Show the way. Give what is precious to you, not for yourselves, but for others, to live as if in you I am here now, in those around you. Who do you know who has shown you that Christ has come again? Every time, when you give of your most precious, your time, your resources, your talents, every time you do it for the least of these, says Jesus, you do it for me. And Christ has come again and again through you and others who have truly followed Jesus. Christ has come again. Thanks be to God. Amen.